Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hey, Better Together fans. It's me, Mr. Maria Menounos, substituting for my beautiful and talented wife on this whatever day edition of Better Together with Maria Menounos. I'm joined by my producer and, of course, lovely co-host and BFF, Kelsey Alexandra Meyer.
What?
And Kelsey, why don't you help a brother out by telling me the quote of the day and who our guest is going to be?
Kevin, I would love to do that. I'm like lowering the music, switching the shot. Now I got this for you.
This is what you do, girl boss.
Girl boss, are you ready for this?
Yes.
When you fall, you might break a few bones, but embrace the pain because it means you fully lived. Own the joy and suffering. Leave it all out on the floor. That is from Cody Allen, who is our guest today. You guys, I'm so excited. He's one of country music's most famous personalities. And Cody, in 2017, came out pretty publicly, and he has written this beautiful book that's all about kind of his journey and road to finding his most authentic self. And I am so freaking excited to talk to him. He is an amazing story.
I think it's very timely because if you know his story, he was Mormon. He was very religious. Yeah. He was married to a female.
Yep.
And you know, at some point in his life, he came out and obviously separated from his wife, and then I think separated from his religion. And he went through a lot of struggling to get to his truth. And I think he's going to offer us a lot of valuable information for you or someone else out there that is in that same situation. And I know a lot of people that have been in there, and I know people who are still there.
Yep.
Which is really sad. So yep. I'm really excited to talk to Cody.
Me too. Should we bring him in?
With us?
Yeah, oh, let's please. Bring him in.
Cody, so good to speak to you. And as I was saying when I opened the show, I think your journey is going to touch a lot of hearts, because I think that, having a different sexual orientation, I think is acceptable, more acceptable today than ever. As you know, culturally speaking, and maybe in the world of public opinion, not so much. And I think it's incredible that your journey, and I guess you're starting out. We talked about, you know, you were married to a woman, and I know there was an interruption there that brought you out. But if we could go back to your elementary school and junior high school days, I mean, were you aware then that you were?
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
really?
Most definitely. I knew from the earliest time I can remember knowing anything like that, you know, thinking that Spider-Man was a whole lot more attractive than Wonder Woman, those kind of things.
Right. Yeah.
like seeing Batman's like frame and thinking, I don't know why, but there's something about that I kind of like. And so I think for me, yeah, all those memories go way back. In fact, you know, most boys probably get Playboy and like, you know, the cliche is they hide the Playboys under the bed, right? to look at the women. I used to order an underwear magazine just because I wanted to see like guys. And I would also hide that under my bed so mom and dad would never see it. I don't know how they never caught on because it would always arrive in the mail. But I went to the mail as often as I could to make sure that the underwear magazine with the guys in it didn't arrive before they checked the mail. So from an early time, I do know I was gay. However, you know, society, my parents to some degree, religion, your faith, all these things play into how you deal with your life and the decisions you make and the choices you make. And so for me, it was like, you know, we didn't, I didn't have Will and Grace. I didn't have Ellen. There weren't, there certainly wasn't anybody in country music, which I was already making a career as a country DJ early on in my life. I started at 15 doing that. And so I didn't have anybody that I really thought was like me doing, you know, I made choices that I felt like were right at the time and what I felt like I needed to do.
I understand that part. I understand all of it, actually. But when you were young, were there other friends you could confide in? Could you tell? I mean, like, you literally could not tell one soul.
No, I had nobody.
Not one person.
There was no one. I don't even remember any gay friends or anyone who was out. I don't remember any adult who was out. I don't remember any of that.
But even when friends are young and starting to be curious and experiment and all that stuff, would you engage in dialogue with your other friends and say, well, you know, do you ever like when you see a guy, does that get you excited? Nothing. You knew enough to keep it.
I stayed away from it. I just thought it was a secret I would carry with me to the grave. Honestly, that's how I felt.
I for that, see, Cody, I can't. I think people need to hear that because I can't even imagine the turmoil, the pain, the anguish, the stress of carrying that. I will say, speak from a male. You know, we're thinking about sex a lot, okay? Especially coming close to 16, and you know, and to have to keep that a complete and utter secret from everyone. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it was really tough. And I think many people, as much acceptance as there is, as much love and compassion as there is in our world now, I do think there's still a lot of people like me who are in, you know, I do country music, obviously, you know that. I feel like there's a lot of people in the South, especially, who probably keep this secret. And a lot of kids who probably still, you know, every day wake up knowing they are one way and yet fighting it because they're supposed to be something else. And so I hope in some ways the book speaks to those people and lets them know, first of all, you're not alone. There are people like you, including myself, and also that that you can figure it out and that there's hope ahead. And it doesn't always have to be the way you think that it is now. And for me, that would have been a powerful message that I did not have in any way, shape, or form growing up. That said, I don't want to make it seem like it's completely miserable either, because you look for things that do make you happy in life. And for me, broadcasting was one of those, like radio, TV. I thought I wanted to be a weatherman for a little while. I was totally fascinated with lots of things that were, you know, shiny objects of distraction, if you will, that kept me from worrying about these other struggles I was having internally. And so and faith had something to do with it as well. I mentioned that, you know, growing up religious and pursuing that direction, it probably helped me in some ways to just have clarity about, you know, where I was going and what I needed to do in my head.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know. I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
What I thought God wanted me to do, when in truth, I since figured out that God has a different plan for me that is much bigger than anything I could have imagined before with this message. I did look for comfort. I found comfort in lots of ways and in lots of distractions.
Cody, for you, it sounds like you at least found healthy distractions. You know, I can see someone turning to drugs or alcohol or other, you know, unhealthy things.
Yeah, totally. You read the stories of LGBTQ plus kids who take their lives. You see the tragedies that do happen because there's no one to talk to, no one to turn to, no healthy distractions. And perhaps sometimes religions that preach hate. And I think, we've got to do something about that. I definitely, you know, listen, I came out in 2017, just a few years ago, really.
Cody, tell us about that, because I know you did it online, right? You did it on Instagram, but you had already talked to your wife at the time about it. Can we start with your wife and how that went? And because I think that would help people too, for when they have to go and break it to their loved ones.
You know, certainly the hardest, toughest conversation I ever had was telling her. I did it many years before 2017, probably around 2010 or 9, something like that. I know in the book I went back and figured out exactly when, because I wanted to be accurate. But that conversation, it was hard to come up with the words to find how exactly you say that to someone love. I mean, I love her. I still do.
Yeah.
It's
you guys
just a
are
different
friends.
Kind of love. It's a different kind of, you know, and by the way, explaining that alone is really hard for people to even understand, that you could love someone for different reasons other than just, you know, sexual. So, I think her disappointment was real. I think her, you know, she cried on my shoulder. I cried on hers.
Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content, and a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Hill Squad community, or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment, and we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, that's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
Cody, was it something, but Cody, how do you go about that? Is that something like, I'm coming home tonight and we need to talk? Did you go away on a trip? I mean, like, this was something you held in for decades.
Yeah, I felt like I was so down in the dumps over who I was, and realizing that, you know, of the things I need to tackle in my life, I started to check off a list of like, okay, debt. Okay, let's take care of debt, because that's probably making me unhappy. Let's take care of, family. I had kids by then, and like make sure that everything is aligned well there. And then, there's this other thing that I've never dealt with that I know is bringing me down, and I've got to figure out. So I started evolving inside, finding the peace within to have, to find the comfort to have that conversation. So yes, it was one of those moments where I said, hey, I need to sit down and talk to you. And we waited until the kids had gone to bed. And I remember we were both sitting on the floor in a room in the basement. And, you know, I just poured my heart out and I said, I've always felt this way. I don't know why I feel this way. But mm-hmm. I told her that I didn't have a choice, which when you're gay, you don't have a choice. A lot of people don't understand that either. Right. And I also said, that I would have never, if I could do anything, if I could choose it, if I could choose to be different, I would. I've tried for a long time to be different, and to not be this way. And she was incredibly, of course, there was disappointment. There was sadness, but
did she see it coming, Cody, at all? Had she seen any signs over the nothing?
No. Not really. I mean, but you know what? There's nothing but love between us. There always has been, just really serious. Like love is the only word for it. We just love each other so much that she said, you would never have chosen this. I understand that I didn't. And she actually expressed that she was somewhat concerned that she didn't see anything coming. Like, how did I not know this? How did I not see any of the signs? Or yeah. I said, well, I obviously am really good at keeping the secret and have been for a really long time. And so we started from there, though, a really healthy unraveling of the situation over those many years to come up with what we would do about our family, how we'd co-parent, what was the best situation if we were to be divorced, how would we continue to have this blended family, and how could we, you know, reconcile what is the truth?
Wow. And I guess, cause I've known a lot of partners that have been on the receiving end of this. And the first thing they do is they say, what did I do wrong? How did I miss it? Yeah.
There was some disappointment, I think, from her on that. And she was, you know, incredibly, she's got a huge heart anyway, you know,
sounds like it,
giving person. And, listen, it's not something I ever wanted to reveal, but I knew
you
can't not be.
And at also, like, you've got two beautiful children, you know, right? How many kids do you guys have together?
We have two. Yeah. Two
beautiful. I mean, so clearly, like, there was a reason for you guys to come together and produce that. It sounds like other things too. So then was the next step the parents and the in-laws? What was the next step after that?
Yeah, it was, and again, a few years down the road. I mean, this wasn't a revolution. It was an evolution, as I like to say.
Okay.
It was definitely a process over time, because I wanted to make sure that I had done all I could if there was a cure, that I was going to do all I could to figure it out, either a mental cure or understanding what science had to say. I read all kinds of books. I read all the science on why someone is gay or has different feelings, LGBTQ+. As much as I could, I was just trying to soak up and sponge up all the information. So I did that for a while with her help. She read with me, and we went to counseling and tried to figure out, like, what's the best course of action. And so that evolution eventually led to other people. Yes. That I started telling, obviously, family, my mom, dad, friends.
Mom and dad, that's a big one, Cody. Mm. That's a big one for people. Can you help us with that?
I think that's, for me, I grew up in an incredibly loving family. Some of us are very lucky when we come out to our parents that they, for whatever reason, are, incredibly compassionate. That is not the case with, I know, many, like we talked about, many families and kids. But for me, I was an older fella too. So maybe they knew that I was an adult already, successful with his life and figuring things out. And again, why would I ever make that up or bring that to them in such a way that, other than just to be truthful and to be real and to be honest, you know?
And was it a blindside for them too?
Yeah. I asked my mom that, and I have asked her a few times, like, did you not see, like, and again, going back to the underwear magazine box, like, did you not ever? And she had no idea. Yeah. Again, I grew up in, I don't know, I wouldn't say sheltered necessarily, but certainly a very conservative Southern home, and loving and kind. And But you know what? I've also made a lot of decisions over my life that have been different than many others, maybe in my zip code. Like I left home early. I pursued broadcasting. One of the things I talk about in the book is pursuing the Mormon faith for a time in my life. I became a Mormon and went on a mission. And so I made sort of these decisions that were against sort of what my mom and dad had always taught. So they knew that I was a bit of a rebel spirit to some degree, but they never, but they were always encouraging. I was never a bad kid. I never had, you know, like I said, drugs, alcohol, these things. I never had any of those problems.
You're lucky and, you avoided those. What was your religion when you grew up?
Southern Baptist. So I was, very conservative home. But the Mormon faith is definitely contrary in some ways to the Southern Baptist. And so, but I was looking for my own way. You know, I always felt like I had my own heart, my own like hopes and visions of what I wanted out of my life. And in some ways, the Mormon faith sort of answered that for me early on, because, again, I was searching for my place in the world. And it sort of cloaked in a very real way the gay part of me that I knew I needed to figure out in time, but I never wanted to reveal. And I thought, okay, I like this idea that they're all about the family and it's all about the picket fence and the perfect photo on the mantle of the family. And to me, that was so appealing because that's what I wanted.
And so, you've migrated away from that as well, haven't you, as I understand?
Yeah. Over the years, you know, we all attended church and did our thing as a family for many, many years. And that moment I spoke about earlier, where I first spoke to my ex-wife about who I was and how I felt, really was the start of that unraveling of my faith and what it really means to me. I thought, you think you know what God has planned for you, but you really don't know until you start to reveal the truth about yourself, your authenticity. So often, you know, you read the scriptures about being an honest man, being a man of integrity, a person of integrity, and not lying. And yet I felt like I was doing all those things all the time whenever I was pretending. And there's something about being transparent, letting that go, letting people know you have weakness.
All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them.
That you're vulnerable, that the things you're ashamed of about yourself. And then you start to realize that there's no shame in the many things you think are your weaknesses. And you start to strip that away and realize God is accepting of you even still with and maybe even more so when you realize that there are things that aren't perfect. I had this sort of ideal of what, you know, this perfect guy was going to be, this perfect family, this perfect life. And it's just when it's not that way, and you know it's not that way, and you're faking it all the time, it's miserable. So for me, it was, okay, I can't do this anymore. I got to get real. I got to get my life on track with some honesty. And I always wanted to be a man of integrity. And it's hard to do that whenever you're, you know, faking it.
Of course. And have you found a religion that it better suits you, or you're just choosing the road of spirituality over organized religion?
Totally spirituality. I mean, for me, it's so I do feel as close to God as I ever did. I thought, you know, you grew up in a religion, and many people watching us probably think, oh, okay, God's going to reject me if I am gay or if I let go of something I think he doesn't like or reveal it in any way. And the truth is that there's a lot of acceptance, I feel, after, again, kind of letting loose of some of this stuff. And I, God has not rejected me. And I do feel so so much better as a person, more loving person, more kind. I think all the things the Bible.
Yeah. It sounds like, Cody, it sounds like your life. And I do, I'm sure you had pushback, but it sounds like, and this should inspire other people too, like your life improved once you did this, once you came out. Would you say, would you agree with that?
Totally.
Talk about that.
I know my story is unique. I know there are many people whose lives, you know, they struggle for a long time after revealing and coming out. But for me, again, I was at a point of, I think, good maturity. I'd had a family. I had grown a lot. And this was the one thing, you know, the one thing I felt like I've got to overcome or it's going to overcome me. Mm-hmm. And once I figured that part out that, okay, I just need to get this right and I could have a better life and be happier. And my ex can be happier and my kids can be happier. And by the way, my kids contribute in the book. They talk quite a bit about their experiences with all this. Cause I wanted them to tell like their firsthand sort of like, and Teresa's as well, my ex wife, she also contributes firsthand her story about how she felt in these moments and all those.
How old were the kids, Cody, when you told them, when they learned?
So let's see, I guess my son was a teenager. My daughter was in her upper teens. So
okay,
he was probably maybe 13 at the time. And my daughter was probably, well, must've been about 17, 18. She was, I told her first because she was a little bit older and I felt like,
right,
I don't want to see how that went. Because I was a little reluctant with my son being at a tender age. I felt like hearing news like that might be shocking to a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
However, both of them were incredibly loving, accepting in that moment. And my son even said, hey, it doesn't matter to me. you know, that generation, they see things differently.
And yeah, they do. You know, it's wonderful.
Yeah, they, you know, to them, it was like, oh, it's like your eye color or your, you know, the, it's just the way you were born.
Was it a double whammy where it was like, I'm getting a divorce, mom and I getting a divorce, and this is my orientation? Or did you keep that separate?
Oh yeah, I kept those things separate. I didn't want those things to be combined because I felt like that would be harmful. So yeah right? No, we were definitely, yes. Yeah.
I would think would associate that with something negative. So, absolutely. Okay, good. So, that sounds
for me,
great.
It was all about, yeah, getting, letting know the separation and divorce stuff was all like different than anything I would tell them later. And you know what, listen, anyone who's going through this, and it, since I've come out, I've heard from so many, people and particularly dudes who can relate to my situation, and who struggle themselves with being married and gay. And the interesting thing is many of them like me had kids. And I know the one thing that I always say to anyone, cause they always ask for advice on this stuff. And I'm very reluctant to give advice because I think everyone's journey is their own. You've got to figure it out yourself with your significant other. I think for me though, I always say, just love the kids. Just pour your love into the kids and let them know nothing has changed. Dad still loves you so much. And I think that message is so important for the family, for the kids particularly, to hear from anyone coming out in this kind of situation.
Did Cody, was there pushback from friends, bosses, other people in the church? Did you get any of that?
Yeah, I've definitely lost a few friends, particularly church friends, because of it. And yet there's been a lot of church friends who've also reached out and been super sweet and wonderful about, hey, if you need anything, let me know, that kind of thing. Really, in the country music world, it was very well accepted and loved. And I got nothing but love from so many artists. When the day I came out, you know, people like Carrie Underwood tweeted about it, encouraging words, as well as, you know, Toby Keith, Dierks Bentley, Keith Urban, these people who I've known for a long time in the industry, you never know how people are going to react. It doesn't matter. Like in that moment, you're still like freaking scared and you're kind of thinking maybe I'll be rejected by the audience or my friends. And, but I had a lot of support that day. And since then there's been very little pushback from haters. There definitely has been a few on social media, which is going to happen with anything you do. Right. Yes. So you can't make everybody happy, but right. I did find an overwhelming amount of love and compassion. And I have since felt that, and it's encouraged me to take responsibility for a little bit of this mantle I now hold. When I came out, it was for me, if I'm being honest, because I just felt like I needed to like lift that weight. But mm-hmm. since then, I felt some responsibility to also speak up, do interviews like this, and of course, write the book eventually, because I wanted to tell the whole story, because people don't understand the intricacies of being gay, being married, why you would choose that if you're gay. Like, yeah, there are reasons why. And there, that whole process, that evolution I spoke about of like figuring out how to tell the people in your life as well as the world. Those stories are real. And I tell all those honest conversations in the book.
I wonder, what do you credit it? Because it sounds pretty smooth as far as the process you've gone through. I know, and you know, that other people's it's a nightmare and one they continue to live. What would you say with you why this went, say, smoother than, say, someone else? And then what, maybe, because I'm hoping there's something they can take away to help them.
I would attribute it to my ex-wife, mostly, because she could have easily said, hell no, I'm not having this. Get out of the house. How dare you? I think that's the reaction many exes have in that situation. And I think that's so unfortunate. I think that love, I attribute it to love. There was a real bond between us, and there always has been. And I think when you realize no one chooses, I didn't choose it, no one chooses to be gay, then you realize, okay, well, then let's figure out a solution to this, because why would you bring this to me unless you truly felt this way? Why would you want to change your whole life, risk your career, risk your marriage, your kids, everything, your house, everything, because you want it to be this way? It's like no one would choose that. So finding a solution together is also one of the things that I think really helped this to go smoothly. And realizing it doesn't happen overnight, you evolve through it.
That was it. I think that term about it's an evolution. It seems to me this was a lot of time, a lot of reflection, a spiritual faith, it seems like. Mm-hmm. You know, you're lucky in the respect that you had a great family, and you also chose a great partner. That was on you to, thanks, you know, thanks. But yeah, I think it seems like the evolution part, none of this was overnight. Like this wasn't we're going to tell her, we're going to tell the kids, we're going to go see a lawyer, we're going to get divorced.
I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Τι έχεις? What do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her, because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory, and with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code Heel Squad for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code Heel Squad. Trust me, you won't regret it.
Like this, maybe that was one of the things. I also think you have such a positive mental attitude. I can feel it.
And I think yeah, thanks. Too. Yeah, you're right. I do think the time and energy, and thank you for saying that. I knew she was a great person when I met her, and I was so interested in the first part of one of the chapters where we first meet. I talk about how, for some reason, the attention someone gives you is like a turn on in a way that I, even though I knew that I was gay then, that I, but the attention and the interest and the love that I saw that she had for me over those first few dates even was like, oh gosh, maybe this is what I was looking for. Maybe this is the cure. And there is something to be said about making that choice and finding a person of character to begin with, because in the end, that character really showed, and those values that I know that she carried with her and has her entire life. In that moment, that compassion was definitely shown to me. And you're right.
I think also, yeah, because I feel like it would have been very easy for you to say, I just got to get all this over with at once, you know, and told, you know, just went up and come straight out with it. And then, but I feel like because you took it in stages, not saying there's anything wrong with doing that either, but I feel like maybe there's something to be said for that. And yeah, and with the people you lost, did that hurt at the time? The friends that, or the church people that didn't want to associate you?
It still does. You know, there's people who don't talk to me or, you know, it still hurts. I found more than worrying about what others will think, I found peace within myself. And I think that counts for just a whole lot of happiness when you find that moment where you're like, okay, I am who I am. This is how it's going to be. I can't turn back. I took the leap, the net appeared, and I'm okay, and I'm good to go. I can figure the rest out. And that's the attitude I take with all this and with my life in general, is that perhaps that's just time, wisdom, you know, age. You grow a little bit as you get older and you progress, and you're at different levels all the time with your wisdom. And so I think for me, it was, there's definitely a peace now that comes with knowing who you are and not worrying about others.
Right.
Maybe I'll reconnect with those people one day, but I'm okay right now.
Yeah. And did your faith in, it seems like you have the faith in God too, where you thought God had you all along. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. Yeah. Once I talked to Teresa, and then I talked about going to see a therapist, which really helped also. I think again, when people reach out and say, hey, what did you do? How did you figure this out? Therapy was important because you start to learn things that you didn't
know.
Yeah,
what did you learn in therapy?
One of the more poignant things I learned was that the mentality of everything is this way or that way, black or white, is incorrect. That in fact, there are shades to almost everything, including sexuality. And it's okay to be one of the shades of gray somewhere along the path. And that was, once I started, you know, again, it seems simple perhaps to many people, but when you grow up a certain way, when you think a certain way for so long, it becomes ingrained in you. It's not unlike our political situation right now, not to get into politics, but we sort of belong to these tribes. And if you're not exactly in line with the thinking of your tribe, then something's wrong. And that's incorrect as well, because again, there's spectrum here. There's a lot of different ways of thinking about stuff. And so for me, I once I started to not only hear that, but believe it. And that changed a lot of how I approached my movement forward, realizing it was okay to be a shade of gray, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Kelsey, were you going to weigh in?
You know what? I had a question only because it was so interesting. We had Allison Stoner on the other week, Cody, and she was talking about, you know, when we and so many people suppress, whether it's, you know, their truest self or suppress something about, you know, it's like it just amounts in illness and disease. And like, we're so unaware of this. So I'm so curious if you felt things while you were silencing yourself and not being true to yourself that you were like, shit, like I'm going to get sick if I don't let this out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just those, nauseousness of like feeling like, okay, my stomach's turning. These feelings of depression, and maybe not anything deeper than those kind of thoughts or feelings, because again, you know, when you're hiding something, you're keeping it so deep inside, you just don't know what effect it does have on your body physically. Certainly though mentally it's having an effect. So most definitely I did feel like there were things churning and I couldn't control them. And that sort of like darkness was, once I let it go and freed all that, it was like, I equate it to taking like rocks out of your backpack on a hike or something. It's like, you've taken the rocks out then and you could actually get up the hill. And so I do think that there were those feelings of like, okay, I'm messing myself up if I keep this up.
Yeah. I think it's just so crazy. I mean, there's so many stories about this, but that just like really struck me, especially speaking with her about that the other week. And she was saying the same thing. It was like, you hold this in because you've all this doubt and this fear and all this, and then you let it go. And it's like, none of that exists once you let it, not really none of it, but you know, it's like, you feel so much lighter and so much better. So I think for you with this story, like that's going to really stand out to a lot of people. Like, I really thought the book was so beautiful. And I think so many people, and I've had people close to me who have gone through this, and it was so scary until they did it, you know, until they made that leap, and then they felt so, so much better. So I think, what's the main thing that you really want people to take away from this book, or like the main couple of messages?
Well, I think that throughout the book, I talk about listening a lot, because obviously my life is kind of built on listening ever since I was a kid. My dad played music in the house, and that's why I really learned to love music and radio. And I love the stories behind the songs and the artists. And I thought, man, that'd be a fun job to have one day, is to be that guy who tells the stories and interviews the stars. And then moving into what I do now, it's all about listening, as you guys know, constantly interviewing people. Like, you have to have your ears completely open, ears wide open, if you will, to hear everything that's being said, because you want to be able to sincerely ask a great follow-up question, or to hear the person who's telling you some poignant story. And then, you know, listening to yourself. I mean, that was a big part of my journey, is that, okay, at some point you've got to listen to your own heart. And so, yeah, that whole thread of listening is throughout the book. And the other thing I would want people to know is that if you're struggling with something, this, you know, coming out or anything, I feel like it's really important to turn to people. And the honest conversations, the real life conversations that I had that we've discussed here today are told in the book. And I talk about the honest conversations I had with people like Keith Urban, who's a friend of mine. And boy, I can't believe I can say that. Like, I don't deserve to know Keith Urban.
The forward was amazing.
The forward by Keith. I know.
Keith, I mean, come on. It was so good.
Love that guy.
So cool.
But I wanted him to write the forward because he's really the first country, you know, artist friend who I told I was gay to. And just his reaction was so wonderful. And like, when you receive those sort of encouraging conversations along the way from like listening ears, whoever they are, that is so important. Whether you're the person telling someone about yourself, or you're the listening ear on the other side, that whole that one-on-one showing empathy, not judgment, loving, is so important. So I want people to read these stories and feel like, okay, I can be a better listener, or maybe there's something I need to tell. You know,
Cody, this is now, as a country music fan and a fan of show business, were there any openly gay performers 20 years ago or Pat, you know, in the history of country music?
Really not. We have Shelley Wright, you may remember as a name from the 90s. She came out on the Oprah show, and when she came out,
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Mine is the sweet chili.
She told her story and it was certainly among the first, if yeah, the first, I mean, that I can remember, certainly of my generation. And then Ty Herndon came out in the early 2010s. I love both of them. However, I will say their careers and some of the hits that they had had were of the past, and they were coming out at a time where you know, some of that heyday had ended. There really hasn't been until this year, when TJ Osborne of Brothers Osborne stepped up and said he was gay. There really hasn't been like a current sort of artist or star to say that in country music, if you can believe that in 2021. Yeah. Like, this is really the first major current, major label country music star to step up was TJ. So that's why it was so freaking scary in 2017, even for me. Even though I know I had the back of, you know, my company, CMT, and like people, I felt like the industry was going to be fine with it. Didn't know how the fans would react, but I felt like I could weather that storm if I had to, because I could speak with authenticity to this to the moment. And I think people would understand, because I'm a real guy who, if they've watched on television or seen or listened to on the radio. So there's a trust that you build over years with people, and you hope that all that builds up a little equity. So when when I came out, I hope that would kind of help me through it. But no, to answer your question, there really hasn't been.
Yeah. Right. Cause I was thinking, even when you think of minorities, I know Charlie Pride, you know, I was a big fan of his. And that to me always, I remember talking to Randy Jackson about him, and he was saying how gifted he was, you know, Charlie Pride. And to think of an African-American country star back, probably what, in the 60s and 70s, you know, I feel like country music in the last 5 or 10 years, or even probably 15, has really opened up more and diversified, which is wonderful. But I think you're definitely leading the charge I think you'll help a lot of people. Yeah, I do.
There's a real movement of inclusivity right now, I think, in country music. I think not just for LGBTQ+ people, but I also think, because by the way, when I go out to like festivals or concerts, I really am always moved that people will come up to me and say, hey, I never felt seen before, but having you come out means something. And I've always loved country music, and I'm gay. And that's happened to me quite a bit. The same is true. I heard TJ Osborne talk about that a little bit. Like, people say, I see you on stage, and it's like, okay, I belong here now. It's funny how that works, isn't it? And the same is true with the great people of color that we've had over the years. You mentioned Charlie Pride, and certainly Darius Rucker in recent years has become just a A-list country music superstar.
Do you know Coffee Anderson?
Yes.
Yeah, he's great. He's awesome. A friend of mine. He really is.
Titans come forth this year. I mean, we have a whole bunch of really incredible. And so you're seeing the doors open up, I think, and people who love country music from different backgrounds, seeing themselves represented. And I think that's a beautiful, good thing.
You know, it's such a metaphor, because I don't know of many, I don't know of any, of anything that isn't better when you have a diversified group that comes together, any business, any piece of art. You know, we really, not to cliche, because our show's better together, but every time I'm like, when we get away from being inclusive and we all work together, that's when the coolest stuff happens. I think that's when the gravy stuff happens, you know?
Yeah. You probably have seen this from the businesses you've built over the years and the teams you've built as well. And I've noticed that myself. Like I joke that I like a circus. I like people who I like to hire people from different worlds. And I like them all to figure
all different out perspectives and different different ideas come in. And I wish more people would understand that we, if the more you, the more colorful you make it, the more diversified, the more like a circus, you know, the greater, the end is going to be the product that you're going to put out. And I see too many examples of it, you know, even in sports, I you see it constantly. But I'm glad country music now, watch, because now country will go next level when it has
this. Yep, absolutely. And I'm already sensing and feeling that. We had our Artist of the Year show on CMT last week, and Mickey Guyton, I mentioned earlier, got up and sang. And we had Boyz II Men, who sang a Chris Stapleton song. And you had Yola joining Mickey on stage. And
I love her.
It was crazy, but it was so freaking awesome. It made the best show we've ever had. Those moments are, I pinch myself that I even get to sit in the audience for those things, because they're like
so cool.
Chill bumps. But you're right. It's because we have various colorful, awesome people of different shades all there on the stage represented. Yeah. You know,
it's very cool. You have an amazing story. You have such a great energy. I just feel so many more exciting things coming for you. And I think, you know, one of the takeaways too is like, you could have had a fine career as a famous broadcaster and a prominent person in country music. And you could have thought that was God's plan. You could have easily said to yourself, I'm going to cover this up and my greater mission is to do this. When in fact, by being your authentic self, you now learn that the greater plan was to not only to broadcast and work in that world, but then to deliver this message and to help people with your story. It's a really fine inspiration, and nothing but the best. And I'm just honored you came on our show, and let's just keep in touch. Keep the conversation going.
And that means so much to me. It really does.
Well, congratulations. And Kelsey, title of the book, and when does it come out?
Title of the book is Here's the Thing. And it comes out on November 9th. You guys, I'm telling you, I read it, honestly, Cody, in like 0.2 seconds. So fast. It's so good. So good.
Really
it's it doesn't matter who you are from what walk of life, like it's going to speak to you and it's going to touch you. So,
and you know, and even so if you have a loved one, I think, you know, if it's not you, we all know somebody who's going through this, and the it will help them. I promise. So anyway, great, Cody, and all our love. And like I said, let's stay in touch.
Love you guys. Thank you so much again for having me. It really means a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
God bless. Wow. It's like, Kelsey, when I think of people who are positive, you know, when I think of the people on our show who are figuring it out, I don't know if anyone's figured it all out, but they all have the same things. They're positive. And they think things through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's that awareness, right? Mm-hmm. So even with Cody, it was not just an overnight thing, you know, where he just said, all right, F it. I'm just going to, you know, come out of the closet to everyone and everything. And he really thought it through and took his time. And I think if you read his book, you won't have to take all that time. Yeah. I think he's going to life hack it for you if you take anything away from his journey. But really special guy, you know,
and really special.
Yeah, really big heart. And I hope that helps people, because can you imagine, Kelsey, something so important to your life? I will just say, as a male, it's like you get that term girl crazy. Just women, Kelsey, do you remember getting boy crazy?
Oh my God, yeah. I'm right. Still boy
so
crazy.
It's like, now imagine and how much of that took up your world, how much time,
especially,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like all, you know, and there's exceptions of young girls and boys who don't give into that. But for the most part, it consumes a lot of your brain power. And so imagine if you're somebody and you're not able to honor that, you know, and you've got to bury it.
And you're confused about honoring it. And, you know, society tells you that now it's okay, but like, you know.
But yes, it is okay, but yes, in the macro, I think. But in the micro, I think there's a lot of microcosm worlds, Kelsey, that we're not, you know, we're in LA. So it's like, woohoo. But the rest of the world, you know, and even in LA, a lot of different old fashioned, you know, or different. I know some families that are still just where I know older friends who cannot say. So
I have stories of friends, older friends too, that is scary.
They cannot, they can't say. Mm-mm.
You know, the other thing I love too, and he talks about this a lot in the book, Kev, is how it's like why a willingness to let people in better equips you to receive love. And I think that that's so cool and such just a like important thing to note. And I learned a lot about that because that's really hard for me. I like don't let anyone in ever. And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm good. And then it's hard to then give love. So
he's saying, when you let,
So it's like when you open up and you share and you're not afraid to, it better equips you to not only give, but receive love. So I just think that that's such an interesting point. There's a lot, like there's so much in here that I kind of want to read it again, you know, a lot of good stuff. He's really, he's a special person.
So if you're somebody who's struggling with your sexuality or is confused or you have someone in your life that, you know, a loved one that I think the book will be helpful. And I think just even following him.
I do too.
Is helpful. You know, he's really
he's such a great energy.
Yeah. It is really, really nice. Really nice. Well, you guys, please remember to like this video and obviously, you know, leave us your positive comments or your critiques is fine too. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us the 5-star review and tell us what you think. And follow us at Better Together with Maria as we give a lot of inspirational content and a lot of fun things as well.
That's
Kelsey
right.
Alexandra Meyer, have I left anything out as the backup quarterback who hasn't been in the game for a minute?
I think that was beautiful, Kev. My only other note, you guys, would be so many of you, you kind of like come onto the video and you're like, this was a good video. And then you leave. And it helps us so much if you subscribe. That way you'll never miss an episode.
Mm-hmm.
We love to know that you're never going to miss an episode because daily we're bringing value, tips, like little things, you guys, that you can hear the same thing over and over and over again, but one person is going to say it in a way that really sticks with you. So, you know, you don't want to miss a day. So hit that subscribe button.
As the kids would say, true dat.
True dat. Anyways, subscribe. We love you guys.
Okay, Kevin, Kelsey, what does Maria say?
Maria says, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.